When you sit down to see a show and there are newborns switched at birth, you might think that you're watching a soap opera. If they're switched at birth in a power play to gain control of power, you might think that you're watching a primetime soap opera. But add in the fact that the switch was done by a beauty queen, and you're firmly in the world of the telenovela. And that is the world of Destiny of Desire, the next offering at Cincinnati's Playhouse in the Park. And joining me in the studio are Jose Luis Valenzuela, the director of Destiny of Desire, and his assistant director, Giancarlo Junin. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, this is a story that is based upon the Latin American soap opera genre. And can you give us a little background on that?
Yeah, telenovelas, Latin American telenovelas, is historically one of the most famous television shows around the world. You know, they become famous all over the world. They say that 2 billion people watch these telenovelas every night around the globe. So every time you get reviewed by a critic, especially when you're doing Latino theater, and there is drama on the stage, they always review it as if it's like a soap opera or melodrama or telenovela, or, you know what I mean? So she decided to write a real telenovela with all the drama that a telenovela has. So historically, telenovelas has been, you know, since the 1950s in Mexico, and still now the biggest telenovelas, I believe, are coming from Turkey, which is funny, but they're the most famous ones, I think, right now in the world. So this was an attempt not to make fun of it. Usually when people do telenovela sketches, they're usually farcical or trying to make fun of the style and the form. And this is more like to honor the idea of how a telenovela is constructed and how complicated that is at the end of the day. I mean, it's not an easy task to really create a story and a plot and the excitement and that a telenovela causes.
Well, and that's kind of a tricky thing because telenovelas use heightened reality and, you know, extremes of wealth and poverty and illness and death and all. So bringing it to the stage, what are some of the challenges that you face so that the actors don't take it too far?
Well, that's a big challenge, of course. When we started the process with this around 2015, we wanted to really create an idea that the characters are believable, even though it's a very heightened reality, because the situations many times are so absurd that it's really difficult to believe that that can exist. But, you know, that's the task. That's the kind of try to find the right actors, try to find the right chemistry, try to build that when you're directing the show, that people understand that there are moments that we need to kind of just relax. What are the moments of truth that happen during the piece, you know, and when and how do these moments arrive to this heightened reality that exists inside of a telenovela? You know, it's very important to say that, I mean, it's a Brechtian telenovela. We call them a Brechtian telenovela because, as you understand in Brecht, you know, he has music, he breaks the actions, he has titles in this place, and every scene, he has commentary on the action of the story and the action of the play. So we added all of this. So the actual play right now has 11 songs who are, yes, amazingly beautiful. And it helps us tell the story in a way that's more compelling. And also with the quotes and the commentary pinpoints what it means to be Latino or Mexican in the United States. Even though it happens in Mexico, the commentary is very relatable to us and to what's going on in the world.
And you bring up a good point. A lot of people don't realize that some of the elements of the telenovela actually come from all sorts of theatrical backgrounds. The Greek tragedy, right. The Shakespearean switching of false narratives. So this is something that, you know, I think people can recognize bits and pieces of some of their favorite theater in already.
Yeah, it's a very much constructed out of the Greeks who came and gave us a story and how destiny is predetermined by the god. You know, and so if these people were switched at the beginning of the story, you know, what happens? When do they meet again? When is the climax, which is the actual structure of a well-done play, you know, that came from the Greeks, really. And, you know, Shakespeare uses it all so well and how his great plots and stories are always in that great structure. And I think you can see that telenovelas are constructed the same way. And what's interesting to me doing research about how to do a telenovela on the stage, because it's an amazing technique, what they use, you know, how you can sit there for 100 episodes and be engaged and love the characters. And, you know, American television series, as you see more telenovela techniques now, like Game of Thrones, it's a telenovela. I mean, it's not a miniseries anymore. It's a telenovela because you follow the characters and the relationships between, you know, the brother and the sister and the kingdom and when they're killing, which is really how telenovelas are constructed.
I turn to Giancarlo. Now, as assistant director, what sorts of things are you working with the cast on to help the homage to the telenovela?
Yeah, I think the responsibilities vary daily. I think that one of the things I did coming in was making sure the quotes that we say, we update them to fit the current timing and making sure that we keep all our facts accurate. So that was something that, like, at some point I had to do. And sometimes we'll be working with the cast and I'll be assisting either the director or the choreographer is there or the fight choreographer and making sure that, like, I'm keeping an eye on and like a little bit of everything so I can help in the room or be a second pair of eyes to like the director, or like the actors might ask me a question on the side if the director is busy otherwise. It's kind of like a wide range of what I'm there doing in the room.
Have you had a telenovela experience before, or is this a new territory for you?
Working on one? No, this is the first time I'm involved in it. I had actually seen the show before working on it in a previous iteration, and I really, really liked it. And I mean, I grew up watching telenovelas at home with my grandmother, so it's something that I'm familiar with, but working on one is the first time.
I'm going to ask both of you, is watching telenovelas a guilty pleasure that you indulge in?
I do. Now, it's interesting because I knew of telenovelas growing up and, you know, everybody watches them, but I really didn't watch that much television. And interesting, I started watching them to see just the structure and how are they constructed, how they slow down the film. And, you know, a telenovela, it's always a credit and it's a song and they tell the story of the entire thing. Because the telenovelas are different, meaning they have an ending. It's not like soap operas, American soap operas, like General Hospital that's been going on for 40 years. I mean, it's a story. It has a beginning, middle, and end, and they have to end even in a year or 8 months. So I was very engaged. And, you know, and they get more sophisticated and more complicated. And, yeah, I mean, right now I'm watching Isabel, which is a Spanish telenovela about La Reina Isabel, who was married to Fernando when they sent Columbus, Christopher Columbus, to... You know, something that telenovelas always have done, they had deal with social issues and many, many times, you know. And the Mexican ones, now they're all about class. It's always a young girl, beautiful girl who comes from the mountains or from the little town and falls in love with the richest guy. And that's usually what the stories are. It's mostly the Cinderella story, what they tell. But, you know, there have been revolutionary telenovelas, there have been social conscious. Many times the governments in some countries have used them to create certain dialogue with their population in order to teach them or talk to them. Something. It's such a popular form, you know, it's like popular theater, you know, which is what Shakespeare was, this is what the Greeks were. I mean, that was popular theater in its time. So this is a very popular play and a very beautiful, though I must say. I mean, we have a beautiful cast, great singers, good actors, great designers, amazing group of people working on it. So we're excited.
You mentioned the designers. One thing that I've always noticed about telenovelas is they always seem to take place in the most beautiful places and everybody's dressing very well and all like that. And then you look at some of the period ones like Isabella, where they're working on actual period clothing and representations. The designers for this show are recreating a small town in Mexico, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it happens in Mexico in the town of Villarrica. It's a fictitious town in Mexico. Owner of the casino in that city, you know, is married to the beauty queen. But, you know, what they're recreating is really an event that is a theatrical event because, you know, it's hard. And every scene happens in a different place with a different setting in a very short period of time. So we needed to create fluidity so that the magic happens and you don't even think about. But yeah, you'll see it. I think it's a very magical piece of theater. It's very theatrical, which is very exciting to be theatrical in the theater. And, you know, it's great television right now. So we want to be theatrical in the theater to have that experience of when we go to the theater, it's very different than television. And it should be, I believe.
the name of the town, Bayarica, is so humorous because it means beautiful rich.
Yes, right.
So I think there's probably some little Easter eggs in there throughout the show that people might pick up.
Yeah, I think people are going to be surprised. And it's very interactive with the audience, so people will have, I hope, a good time. I don't know. This is the first time we're in Cincinnati, so showing it in Cincinnati, for us, it's a very, I'm telling everybody that I'm in the primaries right now. We're doing Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and the Guthrie. So if we get this right, if we get the nomination, we'll become, you know, we may become a...
Well, and you said you've been working on this since 2015. Now, has this been part of the work you do as artistic director at the Latino Theater Company in Los Angeles?
No, that's my own company. This has been with this specific playwright. We started at the Arena Stage in Washington, D.C., and... Then we went to the South Coast Repertory Theater in Orange County and the Goodman in Chicago, and then the Orange Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. But every time it's been different. It's always trying to, you know, what works better, you know, how the audience relates to this part. And it's been an incredible work in making it better. I've been doing it. Usually I don't stay with the show for that long. But this is very special, so we're trying to make it better and better and better as we do it, because it's an important piece of theater.
Well, we're certainly happy you've come to Cincinnati with it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank this evening's guest, director Jose Luis Valenzuela. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You.
And assistant director Giancarlo Junin. Thank you so much for coming. For more information on Playhouse in the Park's production of Destiny of Desire, which is currently in previews and will open on March 5th and run through March the 28th, please be sure to visit our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Jim Stump.